From KQED Public Radio, good morning and welcome back to Forum. I'm Thuy Vu, in today for Dave Iverson. Earlier this month, a Dallas Safari Club auctioned off a permit that allows a hunter to shoot and kill an endangered black rhino in Africa. The permit is issued by the government of Namibia, which allows such legal hunts. A hunter from Dallas bid $350,000, sparkling international controversy and death threats against the hunter himself. But the hunter and the Safari Club say the money will go toward conservation awareness of black rhinos and will aid their preservation in the long run. And in fact, some experts agree. In this next half hour, we'll examine the debate over trophy hunting and the larger issue of poaching that left a record 1,000 rhinos dead in South Africa last year. We'll be speaking with Jeffrey Flockens, the North American Regional Director of the International Fund for Animal Welfare, and with Tawanda Kanema, an investigative reporter working on a documentary about rhino poaching. But first, I spoke yesterday with Ben Carter. He's the executive director of the Dallas Safari Club, which auctioned off the permits for the rhino hunt. I asked him if it was common for countries like Namibia to sell permits for hunting endangered animals.
It actually was not even Namibia's idea. It was, Namibia, like many countries, doesn't have a vast amount of resources. However, they do have black rhinos. And this idea of selling the permit was actually an idea that came from some of the most well-respected scientific bodies in the world. The IUCN supports this auction, as well as CITES, as well as the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Reason being, it's an opportunity to raise a large amount of money that otherwise wouldn't be available to help increase the black rhino population. And this is the first time that it was auctioned outside of Namibia, but it's been going on for the last 4 or 5 years. And so it's not really a new idea. It's something that's already been in place for a while.
Who won this auction, and how much did that person pay for the rights?
Well, we're keeping the identity private, but the amount that it sold for was $350,000, and 100% of those proceeds go directly to the Namibia Wildlife Products Trust, which is a fund strictly for conservation. All of the proceeds will be earmarked specifically for black rhino conservation.
And how will this hunt work? Will that person actually fly to Namibia to hunt this rhino? Will the rhino be roaming in the wild, or is it in an enclosed area?
Yes, the rhino, there's actually probably several different rhinos that are what are older, non-breeding bulls. They no longer contribute to the population. They are, black rhinos are very territorial by nature, and as they get older, they get crankier, and they actually become very aggressive. And they actually are detrimental to the population. They're known to kill younger breeding age bulls, as well as even kill calves and cows. And so removing this from the population actually is a very positive thing and actually helps expand the rhino population there. And it'll be in a national park. It'll be accompanied by officials from the Game and Fish Department who will approve whichever animal they actually find as to being one of those older non-breeding bulls.
And does the hunter get to bring any portion of the rhino back to the U.S. as I guess, a symbol of a trophy, if you will?
Yeah, I believe they can. They can be imported, the cape and the horns.
A lot of people are troubled by this, as you know. The person who won the auction and you yourself have received death threats since this whole auction and the permit became public. Granted that some of the death threats you received were extreme and disturbing, but wildlife groups would argue that what's disturbing to them is what you're doing is promoting, in their words, conservation by gun. That aren't there better approaches? That what you're doing is wrong, that this is making a spectacle of an endangered species, and why not?
I strongly disagree with that, and I would also say that what they're really saying is they're against hunting, and that means they don't understand hunting. They don't understand the North America model of wildlife conservation that Theodore Roosevelt championed, where if you manage wildlife populations and you do it in an effective way, you protect the habitat, you protect the species, and there's a surplus of the species. From that, you can harvest a certain number of those animals, and you can actually raise money for that through permits, through license sales, through the Pittman-Robertson Act, which is a excise tax on sporting goods and things like that. That's what funds all of our fish and wildlife agencies. You know, the federal government doesn't have a budget set aside to fund wildlife. That's what sportsmen have been funding wildlife for over 100 years, and people don't really understand that. When they start looking at the facts, they'll realize that sportsmen pay for most of the wildlife conservation that takes place, and a sustainable use model works where you only take the surplus.
I do hear your point about the money issue and how there's not even enough money out there. Why not put the $350,000, though, that was used toward winning this auction into a program where you can perhaps establish a secure habitat for the black rhinos, maybe have the paying public view them and raise more money that way?
You know what? Like I said before, the opportunity for people to fund black rhino conservation has always been here. Any of these organizations that say that they support black rhino conservation, they could have bought that permit, and they could have chosen not to use the hunt. They could have come up with $350,000, $400,000, whatever it took, and buy the permit. And then, you know what? Everyone would be happy. But that hasn't happened. Instead, all you hear is criticism. You don't hear anything positive. You don't hear anyone. As far as I know, no one has raised a penny for black rhino conservation that I've seen, other than the Dallas Safari Club with this auction.
All right. And so when does this hunt take place?
Yeah, I don't really know that. That'll be up to the buyer, and I would think sometime in the next year to 2 years or whatever.
Okay. Well, all right, Ben Carter, thank you so much for joining us.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
And that was Ben Carter, the executive director of the Dallas Safari Club. I spoke with him yesterday. That's the club that auctioned off the permit for the rhino hunt. Jeffrey Flocken with the North American Regional. Well, you're with the International Fund for Animal Welfare. You're their North American Regional Director. What do you make of his comments that this is actually good for conservation?
Honestly, I believe it's a farce. I can understand what he's saying, that money being done doing something that could be morally compromised or bankrupt or even illegal could go towards something good, but you can use that argument to justify any action. And in fact, there are millions of dollars going towards conserving rhinos and elephants and other species in trouble right now with legitimate conservation initiatives.
Tawanda, what happens with these animals? Is it truly just a hunt, or is there a black market out there? And why would people want to hunt a rhino?
I think that for decades, there's been an obsession with sort of a romanticism that's attached to recreational hunting and trophy hunting. And I think that has become outdated, looking from the perspective of what's happening in Southern Africa right now. Although there's a recreational value to hunting here in North America, we see, especially with respect to the black rhinoceros population that's remaining in Southern Africa, that it is now in a place where it's critically endangered, and there's only a few left, and it's a matter of life and death to keep these rhinos alive in most of the places that continue to support populations.
Well, let's talk about the numbers, because for there used to be 70,000 black rhinos in the 1960s. Now that number is down to 4,000 in the wild, 1,800 of them in Namibia. Is there a huge black market for rhino horns?
There is a growing black market for rhino horns, and especially here in the United States, there's an ongoing U.S. Fish and Wildlife investigation that discovered that exotic animal auctions like the one in Texas and Lolly Brothers in Missouri were being used as a conduit to channel rhino horns to Vietnam. A Vietnamese-American businessman bought 19 rhino horns from a similar exotic animal auction in Missouri and shipped rhino horns to Vietnam, and he pleaded guilty basically to violating the Endangered Species Act. And so there is an existing black market which is using these auctions as a facade. There's a veneer of legality in trade where they auction trophies like this. But then under that veneer, you have a thriving black market that's providing funding for more rhino poaching.
What is the appeal of rhino horns? Are they used for health purposes, medicinal purposes? What's the belief in Vietnam that people would want to purchase them?
One of the primary uses of rhino horns is in traditional Chinese medicine. There's been a myth that rhino horn cures cancer. There's been a myth that rhino horn enhances, it's been used as an aphrodisiac in Vietnam, and it's also being used to make libation cups and jewelry, some form of accessories. So the value of rhino horn has increased as the species continues to shrink, which is what brings us, I think, to the argument of a sustainable use. I think sustainable use made sense 15, 20 years ago when we still had sustainable populations. But right now, with critically endangered, it's the number is actually, I think, 2,800 of black rhinos, 2,500 of black rhinos left, because 2,000 have been killed over the last 2 years.
Jeffrey Flocken, what do you make of this? What do you want to see happen? These hunts are legal. There's not a law being violated here.
Agreed. The fact that they're legal, though, doesn't make this right, nor does it make it conservation. This hunt is sending a message that's going to be a long-term, much, much more deadly for rhinos than any good that could be gotten from the short-term gain that comes from money generated off this one-off sale. When you talk about the value of rhinos, we have to get beyond just thinking how much they're worth dead. And this hunt says that they're worth more dead than they are alive. In fact, rhinos have multiple values, and one of the most base ones is, of course, for ecotourism, which brings in millions and millions of more revenue in sustainable revenue. It can be used again and again, seeing the same animal, to African nations than any kind of one-off trophy hunt has. They also have value within their herd. This assumption they keep throwing out, this is a non-breeding male that's more dangerous and needs to be removed. There are many scientists who are saying that's just not true. They don't know how long the importance of males' reproductive value within a herd actually is. And even if you could say that it no longer is directly contributing its genes to that herd, it plays other roles within the social structure. Animals do actually, you know, rhinos, black rhinos in particular, are known for being ornery. So the fact that they are territorial and cause problems, that's just part of the way they've evolved in the herd structure. So, again, there's a value that goes beyond just this idea that it has to be killed to be worth something. And I would also throw in intrinsic value. In this modern day and age where people actually appreciate other living organisms and animals on our planet, many people think that rhinos, elephants, these other species have a right to exist here along with humans.
We should say that some animal conservation groups are in favor of the hunts. One of them is the World Wildlife Fund, and we invited them to be on the program as well. They declined. They said that they're not involved in this particular auction and did not want to be on, but they do, in the past, have supported these types of hunts in the name of conservation. Let's go to the phones now and say hello to Scott in Palo Alto. Good morning. Welcome to Forum.
Good morning. Interesting topic. I can hear both sides of the issue, and it seems like on the very most fundamental point, that of, you know, whether or not these older males are violent against other members of the herd, that seems like there's complete disagreement. But I wanted to just remark, as a U.S. citizen, the parochial nature of both sides. You know, it seems very primitive for somebody to actually shoot a gun at a rhino, if you want to impress me. Do it with your hands. And then it also sounds quite primitive for people to be lodging death threats against these people. So in the meantime, our military is perpetrating violence all over the world. And where are these people, these passionate people, about these other larger global issues that confront us as a society? Why are we so parochial about everything? We're so primitive on these topics.
Okay.
So have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
All right. All right, Scott. Thank you for that comment. Plenty of people, though, are angry about this, and they're sending in their comments. Andrea tweets, trophy hunting is not conservation. Killing rhinos will not save them. Carrie writes, today there are just about 5,000 black rhinos left living on a fraction of their old territory. That makes them a critically endangered species, just a couple of stops away from becoming extinct. If this old bull is no longer able to breed, have the compassion and let him live out his days free, wild and in the bush, have a heart. And Patty emails, hunts are a barbaric way of a man making himself feel good when he has a tiny ego. Our animals are all precious and valued. What kind of person would need to do this? Please give away something more human than a hunt. Tawanda, let's go back to your point about the black market and poaching. How widespread is it?
Over the last year alone, 1,000 rhinos were killed in South Africa. And over in the United States, we have been following a case that involved at least 37 rhino horns being bought from auctions and being shipped to Vietnam. One businessman was arrested, and he had received 19 rhino horns from an auction in Missouri. It emerged that he had made at least 37 wire transfers to China and Vietnam through U.S. banks. So he pleaded guilty to money laundering charges. But there was evidence that this had been going on for at least 2 years in the United States, that there had been this constant channel of rhino horns being bought from auctions and being shipped to Vietnam. So on the trade side, it seems that it's been going on for a very long time. And then in Africa, we just went on a trip to Southern Africa this summer, where we went to 4 national parks. We went to 5 national parks and conservancy areas in 4 countries. And we spoke to veterinarians, wildlife rangers, and we found that it's actually increasing. The regularity of rhino killings is getting more and more frequent. And also, I think there's now a new link between rhino poaching and terrorism in East Africa, where there have been allegations that Al-Shabaab is using rhino horns and ivory to fund its activities. So it's a national security threat in much of Southern Africa now, to have men with guns roam conservancy areas, mostly unsupervised.
And I know you're working on a documentary on this with Frontline. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm working on a pitch for Frontline.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Jeffrey, with the International Fund for Animal Welfare, what makes this auction so different? I mean, it's certainly not the first time a permit for this type of hunt has happened. Why is it getting so much press?
This is a critically endangered species. Right now, there is a tremendous, tremendous crisis going on with both rhinos and elephants in Africa that are being poached for their horn, but the species numbers are so low, and this is such a wasteful and, you know, just openly crass action, a blood sport on a critically endangered species, actually putting that value that it's worth more because it's rare, so we have to go out and hunt it and have that kind of ownership over it. One thing that I, you know, the gentleman from the Dallas Safari Club said is that anyone who opposes this is, you know, being emotional and doesn't understand hunting or against hunting. And that's not true. This is a critically endangered species that's being hunted. And many experts have come out and said not only is the hunt not necessary, but it's not conservation. Dr. Jane Goodall has said this, Dr. Rudy Van Aert, Dr. Cynthia Moss, Dr. Joyce Poole, world-renowned individuals have said this. And Fish and Wildlife Service has not approved this hunt, even though that's continuing to be a talking point you hear from the Safari Club. In fact, they have said very pointedly that there is no permit that has been put forward. They won't consider it. It would have to go through the criteria. Once a permit is put forward, then they will be willing to consider it. And WWF has also, you know, I just spoke with officials from there 2 days ago who said, no, that they have not supported this particular auction or this particular hunt. In the past, they have, you know, worked with communities that have involved trophy hunting, but this is not a situation for that, and they're not ready to come out and support it either.
Here's an interesting counterpoint from one of our listeners. Elliot writes, in 2009, I traveled to South Africa on an ecology education tour where we learned how the permitted hunting of the white rhino brought the species back from the brink of extinction. The black rhino has remained endangered because of limitations on controlled hunting. If you want to hire guards to protect against poachers with machine guns, it requires a steady source of income, and permitted hunting has provided this. Just look at the white rhino. Jeffrey, what do you make of that?
Ecotourism has brought more money and revenue into range country for rhinos and other wildlife of Africa than trophy hunting ever has. So this individual may have heard that in a particular tour he was on, but certainly that's just one interpretation. It is tenfold times more revenue that comes in from sustainable non-extractive tours like wildlife watching, photography tours, ecotourism. This is the best long-term solution for saving animals in Africa. And again, it's a critically endangered species. Killing one is a statement that is worth more dead than alive, and that the scarcity of it, it makes it valuable, which is something that has also driven up the price for the horn in the traditional Asian medicine markets, as well as using for carvings and curios.
Dave writes, I enjoy hunting for meat and often share my harvest with neighbors and friends. More than a few times, people have turned their noses up, sometimes very snidely, at my harvest of wild meat while they continue to purchase factory-farmed meat. The silly, snobbish hypocrisy is also on display with the rhino controversy. People who do little or nothing for conservation criticize the hunters who do much. Your response to that?
Well, I would again say this isn't conservation. Just saying that there's money being raised is not conservation. I've studied wildlife management in Africa. I worked for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service doing international species conservation for 5 years, and I do not believe this is conservation. And I'm not coming out against hunting or subsistence hunting in this situation. This is all about a trophy hunting of a critically endangered species. The message it sends is horrific for the animal in the long term, and it's not true conservation.
And Tawanda, real quickly, do you want to add to that at all?
Yes, I think that his argument makes sense as an intellectual exercise. It does make sense as commerce. But the practical reality of allowing men with guns, men and women with guns, mostly unsupervised, to roam some of the most pristine habitats of this highly endangered species, it raises questions. I think that there's need to review the entire model of professional hunting in that region.
Okay, hold on to that thought. You're listening to Forum. We are talking to Jeffrey Flocken with the International Fund for Animal Welfare and with Tawanda Kanema, an investigative reporter working on a documentary about rhino poaching. This is a fundraising period for KQED Public Radio. For more information about how to support KQED, go to kqed.org. I'm Thuy Vu. And let's continue our conversation about this. What exactly, you know, we hear these terms thrown out, trophy hunting. What exactly is trophy hunting? Define that.
Trophy hunting is killing an animal for sport. It's not for subsistence. It's not using the animal's parts to survive or for meat or for clothing. It's purely a blood sport.
And are they able to – I asked this earlier of Ben Carter, but I wasn't clear as to if you do a trophy hunt in Africa, for example, what can you bring back as a trophy? And do you have to get special licenses or permits to bring it back into the United States?
It's all determined by how the animal is classified. With the case of the critically endangered black rhino, it has the highest protections against commercial trade by CITES, which is the international convention that governs international trade and species. But it's also listed here in the U.S. as an endangered species. So first, they have to show that the import would not be detrimental to the survival of the species in the wild, and that's under the CITES treaty. But then for the U.S., they have to show that the allowing the import will actually enhance the species survival in the wild. And that's our own domestic law that allows for the permit. So they do have to get these permits. So far, nobody has applied for this permit to bring back this trophy-hunted rhino. But at that point, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will have to run it through its own criteria to see if it should be allowed. Now, there's only been one instance in the past where a black rhino that is trophy-hunted was allowed in because they were able to prove that to the satisfaction of Fish and Wildlife Service. But that was hunted in 2009. The situation is much worse now, and again, it sends a message out this animal is worth more dead than alive, and hopefully the Obama administration won't want to put that message out there.
Let's return to the phones here and say good morning to Janine in Sausalito. Welcome.
Thank you so much, and I'm so honored that my wonderful local NPR station is carrying this issue. It means a great deal to me. I've lived in South Africa, and I'm actually moving back to Kenya in April for good. So it's not an issue that is new to me, obviously, and it's a very nuanced, it's extraordinarily important. I think it's one of the most important things on the planet right now, facing extinction and these animals. Anyway, but to me, I was grateful that it could be deduced to such a simple exchange this morning. Your guest host, forgive me, I don't know the name, but when you asked very directly, your first guest, Ben, I believe, from Texas, you asked him quite directly about this issue. Can they bring in body parts? I mean, what is the shooter? What is he to gain? Can they bring in body parts? And Ben's response was very you know, very all like, oh shucks, and his, but literally his words were, quote, I believe they can, end quote. And so this was just some unconsidered, you know, possible, you know, benefit they hadn't considered. But obviously it is a trophy hunt. The whole goal of this is for these hunters. I was also raised in the South. I know them intimately. My father was one. Is to bring that body part home and hang it in their library. I mean, it's so indirect, and it is simply dishonest for him to act as though it is not an important issue. Obviously it is. This is a testosterone-driven, even though it's men and women, testosterone-driven, not a sport. They're out to slaughter an animal to bring home a part to hang in their home, and it's very dishonest to act as though that's not important.
And Janine, thank you, and I think Jeffrey Flocken obviously would agree with you on that. Nigel writes to us saying, Namibian conservation practices, so far more credible than their counterparts in South Africa, are still questionable, and it's also a country with significant corruption issues. Tawanda, what is conservation like in Namibia? Are they considered good about that?
For a while, Namibia has had, I think, some of the most exemplary conservation policies. I think they just have problems articulating their intent, especially with this hunt. Five hunts of this type occur every year. So Namibia has a quarter of five rhinos that are shot every year like this. But I know that hunting generates a lot of conservation dollars. That's the claim out there, and it's actually true. But if any country needs $350,000, Namibia is not that country. We are looking at the world's second largest producer of diamonds, fourth largest producer of uranium. They do not need $350,000 to conserve the rhino population in this country. And also the geographic separation issue. Namibia and South Africa have had similar, I mean, this used to be this one country until 1990 when Namibia declared independence from South Africa. So looking at the rhino population over a longer period of time, it's not just Namibia's conservation policies over the last 24 years that have yielded this sustainable population.
Okay. And we will leave it there with you, give you the last word. That's all the time we have. We were joined by Jeffrey Flocken and Tawanda Kanema. And earlier I talked with Ben Carter of the Dallas Safari Club. Thanks to all of you for being a part of our program. I'm Twi Vu, here today for Dave Iverson. Thanks for listening. This is Forum.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.